Let me see it. Is it cute?
Yeah, it's so cute.
Send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Okay. Look what I just posted. Brunch with these two dum-dums.
Oh my gosh, so good. Is this good? I said Sunday Funday with these idiots.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. So, so cute.
Okay, so cute. Look what I just posted. Eating crap with these sacks of if they died tomorrow, no one would shed a tear. So cute.
Wait, what the hell?
You called me a dum-dum and she called me an idiot. So.
Yeah, when you post a pic of yourself where you look really cute, then you have to say something a little self-deprecating so it doesn't look like you're just bragging.
Oh, all right, this is good. Slapping down some pig with these fat and I'm the fattest of them all. If I died tomorrow, no one would shed a tear. Load my freaking lard carcass into the mud. No coffin, please, just wet, wet mud. Bay.
Jesus, Brenda.
All right, I got ya. Gulping down some pig with these bags of meat. Sunday Funday with these pig b****s. Hope nobody gulps us.
So, are we the pig b****s or the bags of meat?
Okay, let me try another one. Sitting here with two bona fide pieces of hog b****. They're mad because I won best hog at the hog snarfing contest. But I'm not mad because we're all loads of beef sitting on the side of a highway getting our butts sucked by flies. I tagged you both in that.
Why?
Why are you guys bullying me?
TBTL.
Maybe he saw his reflection and thought, I'm flying in hot for that hottie.
It's like your own mini garden. And, well, now that you think about it, it's kind of fun seeing how good it grows. It's kind of like, you know, kids. Like, it's kind of like kids growing up.
My podcast is on life support. Hey, I need new listeners.
I want to be the bad boy of public radio, like Elvis Mitchell.
All right, hello, good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Thursday edition of TBTL.
An irony-free zone where everything is beautiful and nothing hurts.
The show that actually just might be too beautiful to live. My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
That's a tuna, bro!
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill, in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City, on a cloudy July 2nd. 2020. It's episode 3197 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
I had the ultimate horror this morning of realizing we are out of coffee here at Burbank Springs. I did not realize until I had already poured the water into the coffee maker and then looked down into the drawer where that stuff lives. Luckily, we had...
This song goes out to all the coffee lovers of the world.
A little packet of instant coffee, which I'm going to tell you is not the worst. Does smell a little bit like beef jerky. But other than that, to say, it's getting the job done. I'm drinking it out of my Sunday Morning Experience podcast mug. That was the really great podcast about the TV show CBS Sunday Morning. I believe they've ceased production on it, but they did a good job and made some pretty rad coffee cups while they were at it. So that is where things are at for me here on episode 3197 in a collector series. I was awake early this morning wondering, are cats worth it?
There is something about the soul of a cat.
I'm not kidding. Like, the Bay Kitty, who I do care for and find to be a generally fun presence in this household, has been just destroying my sleep patterns this week. And I want to talk about that with my good friend Andrew Walsh, because I know he's been through some similar stuff. So we may get into that. Also, you know, restaurants are reopening around the country, whether or not that's a great idea. And people want to go out and eat.
These are the best Cajun chicken niblets I've ever had.
But what to do when your restaurant is legally only allowed to be half full? What do you do with that empty space? Well, if you're a South Carolina diner, you put a bunch of blow-up dolls in the empty seats, which is, well, brings us to our favorite topic, the Uncanny Valley. So we'll get into that coming up. Plus, Vanilla Ice is playing a show, apparently, in Austin this weekend. I was going to say he needs to stop collaborating and he needs to listen to scientists.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
But then I was informed by Andrew before we started recording that that was the actual CNN headline. And I apparently was about to commit joke theft from CNN. So I didn't want to do that. But I'd already loaded in this audio drop.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
Which takes me hours to do, so I wasn't going to waste that time and energy on that. So anyway, oh, hey, it's Thursday, also known as Blur's Days around here.
My birthday today.
So we'll do some of those as well. We'll do all that with the aforementioned longest-running Cobro of the show, known in some circles as Young Money. He's got one kidney, one lung, and a pure heart. He is Andrew Walsh.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
And he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Stealing jokes from CNN is like stealing jewelry from a drugstore. Like, if you're going to get caught stealing, like, you know, don't steal from those sources.
Like, in other words, if I was going to steal jewelry, I should pull off some kind of caper where I go to, like, Tiffany.
Yes.
Or some kind of thing, which probably involves me lowering myself from the roof with a rope. And also doing that move where you cut a circle of glass mm-hmm. out and then remove it with a suction cup.
I love that. I love it when you slide under the red laser beam with uh-huh. your butt just missing it. That's one of my favorite mm-hmm. moves that you do.
Yeah,
it reminds me, I think I've said this on the show a million times, it's still one of the funniest things from my real life, though. I had a colleague slash supervisor, I guess, slash boss, slash bro, a guy I used to work with, got a cease and desist order in the early to mid 2000s because he was BitTorrenting and downloading TV shows. The shows that he was stealing, Law and Order. And I think about that a lot. Like, this was during an era where you couldn't not watch Law and Order. Like, every TV you passed had Law and Order, like some other version of Law and Order.
TVs actually come preloaded with
yes,
Law and Order.
It was pre-U2 iTunes. By the way, I had to re-download iTunes recently, and that free U2 album popped up again like a herpes that we'd all forgotten about. Yes, it's
wow.
kind of like, well, you still have a bunch of stuff in the cloud. Do you want to download it? I'm like, what do I have in the cloud? And it's like, oh, that U2 album that came free with, I guess, iTunes.
Wow. That is a blast from the past. I had more or less forgiven Bono, Larry Mullen Jr., and The Edge for doing that. I think there's also a guy named Adam Clayton in that band.
There is.
How am I naming every member of U2?
I don't know.
That I dedicate almost no brain space to.
The second one I would have never known. Who is that? Who did you say after Bono?
Larry Mullen Jr.
There you go. I didn't know that.
Please. Larry Mullen Sr. was my father.
Hey, I know you want to talk cats here, which is I'm excited about, but can I run a quick dilemma by you, something that's going to happen to me mm-hmm. today that I don't know exactly how to navigate? I guess I'll just navigate it by existing. But so we have a dishwasher here in our apartment. We don't use it very often. It's a brand new dishwasher. When we moved in here a couple of years ago, whatever dishwasher was already in here was basically already broken. So the landlords replaced it for us. Brand new dishwasher. We use it, I don't know, once a month maybe. Not very often. And it's been malfunctioning the last few times we've used it. Actually, going back probably several months now, it was not draining properly. It was leaving standing water in the bottom. It was giving me an error message. And you could look up what the error code was. And it said, your machine's not draining properly, which I was like, yeah, I got that, robot. Thanks. anyway, and then we would kind of somehow I always blame myself for these things. I was like, well, I probably shouldn't have put all those big bowls in the bottom of it. It's like, why would that create a drainage issue? I don't know. But like, I just blame myself first. I'm also mm-hmm. always super reluctant to get landlords involved with anything. I try to solve it myself. I don't know. I got some real hangups about that. Maybe not for any specific reason. But anyway.
So, you're not doing anything hydroponically you're not allowed to do in the apartment?
No, no, I am not. I'm not brewing, growing, smoking, or toking anything that I'm not supposed to be in here. But anyway.
Just making sure that's in the clear.
Yeah, so that's a pretty
primo
good one.
Audio for later use.
That's a pretty good one. I hear it. Anyway, sorry, I am trying to make this quick. So it would back up a few times, but I would always find some way to get the water to go down. Like I'd run it again, or I would, I don't know, but I just kind of mess around with it, and it was kind of this thing that was lingering. And then a couple of weeks ago, it just wouldn't drain at all. It was just done. Error message. Couldn't get any Couldn't get it off of the error message at all. So finally called the landlord. Also, this thing, you know, it's installed in the kitchen. I don't have great access to the drainage tubes and whatnot. You have to pull it out. You have to unscrew some things and pull it out and try not to ruin the floor when you're doing it. So that gets way above my pay grade. So
not to mention,
yeah,
dishwashers are a real black box situation to me. Like, I don't know what happens. I close that door. The thing friggin' fills with water. Mm-hmm. Then later, a heating element, I think, comes on to dry the dishes. That shouldn't all happen in the same space. I feel like if you open the dishwasher in the middle of the cycle, Marcellus Wallace's soul escapes.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
like it is, there's some gree-gree going on in there that I cannot wrap my mind around either.
It is my understanding, and I am not sure. I might actually have more information on this later. It's my understanding that have you ever been to a car wash where after the car wash goes through its cycle, a bunch of people come with rags and they kind of do the final polishing? My understanding is there's miniature little ones of those people who come out in the dishwasher.
Sure.
Little gnomes.
I have not been tipping them. What do you tip them?
It's a tiny corner of a dollar bill. That's all they need. Okay. Anyway, so it was malfunctioning. I call the landlord. He comes over here. The last weekend, and he pulls everything apart. He says, yeah, maybe it's a clogged drainage tube. That seems like what everything is pointing to. I had done a lot of research online. By the way, the landlord, I think, appreciated the fact that I had really tried to troubleshoot this. Because we had both watched all the same YouTube videos and tutorials on how to fix this problem with this particular Blomberg dishwasher. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he comes in, he messes around, he gets a snake, he snakes out, but there are no clogs in the line. There's no clear...
I was worried that a piece of sausage was going to pop out.
Yeah, right. He's giving it the Heimlich, and all of a sudden...
And you're going to be like, that was me. That was definitely me.
Yeah. No, he found my grow operation in the tubes. I was like, oh, shoot. Thought I'd find the perfect hiding place. Anyway, so he messes around, doesn't really find anything, puts it all back together, and then it works. Now it's working again. Yay for us. Now, the one problem is he had already called the company to come look at it before he came to look at it because the warranty expired a week prior. So all of me kind of getting this thing to limp along was probably a bad idea. If I just called them right away, we would have been more covered by the warranty. But either way, the company, through some third-party contractor that's called the Appliance Hospital, which doesn't make sense to me because hospitals don't come to your home. You go to a hospital. But anyway, the Appliance Hospital is
also
now...
Also, the copay is essentially ridiculous for that. I mean,
yeah, well, depends on your coverage.
Forget
plan.
It.
Your PPO. So the point is, my landlord still wants this repair person, John, from the Appliance Hospital to come this afternoon to look at the appliance. Because he's like, this is our last chance to get it under warranty. If this thing breaks again... a month down the line, at least we can, you know, we have this record of this thing was malfunctioning and somebody had to come out to look at it, and maybe we'll still be covered by the warranty if it breaks again down the line, which I understand. To him, he's like, things don't magically, the guy knows what he's doing, right? And he's like, things don't magically just get better. Like, something is wrong and this could malfunction again. And if it malfunctions a month down the line, then we're left holding the bag and it might not even be worth paying to repair at that point. And so that's his concern, but he's not going to be here to explain this to John from the Appliance Hospital. I'm going to be here, and John's going to show up. I'm going to say, here's my dishwasher. And he's going to say, what's the problem, sir? I hope he calls me sir. And I'm going to say, John, it's working. It's working. Great. And it wasn't working. And I'll explain to him what I just explained to you. But then you'll say, so what do you want me to do? And I'll say, I don't know, John. I don't know why you're here. And that's as far as I've planned it out.
I would just play him, or even better, I would type up a transcript of this conversation and present it to him. Because, I mean, you've laid it out very clearly. By the way, the Blomberg dishwasher is the perfect complement for your full, fabulous, active life. Generously sized and designed for flexible loading, it offers easy, quiet, efficient cleanup, whether on busy weeknights or after a big, bountiful dinner party.
Can I add that when the Blomberg dishwasher ran for president, it flooded the airwaves with commercials. You could not avoid the Blomberg commercials. Do you remember that?
Wasn't that a crazy, like, 3 weeks? It went from, like, basically not even being in the race to like me thinking we are legitimately going to nominate a dishwasher.
Yes, it was something else.
Like it moved the needle. And then just as quickly as the Blomberg showed up on the scene, it was just sort of gone.
It's a common sense dishwasher, though. That's what I like about it.
So I would just say to him, I mean, my frustration, if I were you, would just be the fact that someone's going to be in my house at any point. Like if I have an appointment, even in the before times, if there's an appointment where somebody who I don't know is going to come over to look at something, fix something, deal with something in the house, I dread it all day.
Me too.
All day. Just because someone's going to be in my space, means I need to clean things up. I don't know. I'm unsettled until the person has come over, they've done what they're going to do, and they're out of my house, which is a fairly antisocial way to move through the world. But if I were you, I'd be mildly annoyed that that is now part of your life. But as far as explaining to Dr. John, the dishwasher surgeon, that what's going on, I mean, I would just say exactly that to him. I would say it wouldn't drain. The landlord took it apart and it started draining again. We couldn't figure out what was fixed. And he just wants you to give this a kind of a once over, a checkup. I would try to use as much medical terminology with him.
If he's not wearing a stethoscope, by the way, I'm not letting him into my house.
Be like, my dishwasher is ready for its colonoscopy.
The dishwasher has not eaten in 24 hours.
The dishwasher's been drinking barium for the last 2 days, so that should be good. I would just explain that to him. I do also find it slightly ironic, and I don't want to put any salt in the wound, but that your overall conscientiousness, you're not wanting to be a pain, even though you and Genevieve, I have to imagine, are maybe the most model tenants a landlord could ever dream of, particularly considering the state of affairs with the previous person who lived in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And like for you guys to come in and just to decorate it really beautifully and to, you know, just enjoy the house as much as you do and also treat it with respect the way you do. Like, I feel like you have a lot of goodwill, I would assume, built up with your landlord. And if I guess if it were my dishwasher, I'm much more of a squeaky wheel about that stuff. And I would have called them earlier, which would have probably been annoying to them. But yeah, it's funny that you're trying to be a good tenant actually may have exacerbated the situation regarding the warranty.
Of course, you say you might have called them sooner, except this is where you and I both agreed we hate scheduling people to come over to our house to look at things. I mean, I think that's a big part of it, too. I don't like to make waves, but also I don't like waiting around. That's I think the thing I hate the most in life is waiting. It's a strange thing. Like,
it's the hardest part.
Ooh, I think you're onto something there.
I stole that line from CNN, too.
I was going to say something
waiting.
That I can't remember. Yeah. Oh, like the scheduled appointment is, of course, it's a 3-hour window, sometime between 2 mm-hmm. and 5. I know that Dr. John is going to come after 5. It'll probably be 5:30. And again, I don't have anything pressing that I need to do, but whatever I'm going to be doing between the end of work today and this person showing up, I'm just going to be like kind of waiting and agitated and just like not knowing when they're going to show up. And then Dr. John will most likely want to run a cycle, right? So the shortest cycle on there is 35 minutes. The longest is like 2.5 hours. I'm hoping, I mean, who knows? Maybe Dr. John and I will just get along and we'll just like play mm-hmm. Xbox for a couple of hours while the dishwasher mm-hmm. runs. I'd prefer not to do that, especially in the age of COVID.
Maybe, though, because he is a trained medical professional, maybe he knows a hack where he can kind of just punch in some kind of Mike Tyson-esque code and skip the cycle right to the draining part.
I thought you were talking about the Xbox like once there's... thing. I couldn't tell.
Also, maybe he knows some good cheat codes for your Xbox as well. I have found one of the weird emerging stories in my life related to dishwashing during the pandemic has been not always, but a lot of times I find myself just washing the dishes now, mm-hmm. like not wanting to deal with the dishwasher because it's just me and Carrie. We have not been able to train the animals how to use plates or cutlery. So it's not a crazy amount of dishes under normal circumstances. There's nothing more annoying than – and we have like a – not – we don't have a fancy dishwasher like you guys have that doesn't drain. But it's relatively new. It works, I think, pretty effectively. But there's nothing worse than when you like load that thing up and then half the stuff just didn't get clean for some reason.
Mm.
Because then you're going to pre-wash the dishes and put them in. Basically, what it is there's a point at which if you have to pre-wash the dishes, you're just doing the dishes. And it's just easier and more efficient to just hand wash the dishes. And I find myself doing that about half the time, even though we have a sort of perfectly good dishwasher sitting right over there. I grew up in a family, too, where we had – there were two major acquisitions for the Burbank family regarding the kitchen when I was a kid. One was we did get a microwave that my Uncle Mike, because he worked at Jafco, which later became Best, he got a microwave that was in the scratch and dent section. Like somebody had backed a truck over it or something, and so it was cheap. We had a microwave. That was a really big deal. And we did get a dishwasher, but it was used, and it was the kind that you had to roll across the kitchen floor and hook up to the sink with pipes, with tubing. And that my main memory of being a kid with that dishwasher was the dishes had to be sparkling clean and sometimes cooked in like a medical instrument kiln. Before you could put them in the dishwasher,
it had to be sanitized with black light before you could.
Yes. If you were able to get the dishes to the point where you could actually use them to perform surgery on someone, then they would come out of the dishwasher clean. Anything short of that, and it was a complete waste of time. I do not know why we even had that dishwasher, which we would roll across the kitchen floor in our little rental house every single night.
Yeah, you know, and I think about that, and I'm just like, how is that worth it, right? Because you mentioned before that you just end up doing a lot of dishes by hand. Obviously, I've talked about this a lot on the show. I do, too. I don't use this dishwasher all that often, but I always have to remember that you did have – you were a family of, you know, how many kids at this point? I mean, that is like – you know, five times the number of dishes that I have to do. So it must have been nice for your parents not to have to spend like 4 hours cleaning all the dishes after dinner.
Yeah, we did a lot. I mean, you did a lot of chores in your family, but we were a very chore-heavy family. I wonder if kids these days, I wonder if it still works that way for people that have young kids. Like, it was on, you know, so it would be divided up. You would either have to, like, you were on setting the table duty or you were on clearing the table duty, dishes duty. I feel like clearing the table was way better than doing the dishes. So there must have been something where if you cleared the table, you had to also, like, maybe load the dishwasher. Anyway, it was all divided up, and we the kids handled all of that stuff. And on Saturdays, we had our whole list. Again, I know you grew up in a similar kind of thing. I've never seen any of my friends' kids doing chores. I don't think Addie had chores when she was a kid. Are we the last generation of people who had chores?
I don't think so. I'm the wrong person to ask. Obviously, I don't have kids at all. You have an adult child, but like, I'd not to air dirty laundry. Oh, literally. Sort of. Dirty laundry is related to chores, is what I was inferring there. Anyway, implying, whatever. Sorry, spinning out of control. Robo Andrew, get it together. I was talking to Phyllis. Of course, Gus is 10 years old, right? I don't think he's 11 yet.
Yeah.
And our friend Phyllis, and she was telling me that, you know, Gus has the chores that he does. And he takes, apparently he's really good at them and takes them very seriously as well.
Unsurprising.
So, yeah,
he's
exactly.
a conscientious fellow.
Right, of course. So, you know, I think that parents are still guided. It might be... I do think the level of chores that I did, even at the time, were kind of beyond the pale. But yeah, I think parents are still making sure their kids are doing something to contribute.
Yeah, I had to vacuum every Saturday morning. And again, this is nothing compared to what you were doing out there in Ohio. But my job, because I had this weird room in the basement that had just been like, was like an unfinished basement, and my dad kind of sort of put up some sheetrock and made a little wall that kind of curved around this giant, weird, massive, I guess it was the furnace downstairs. I mean, the furnace was like from a bygone era. Like, it looked like a furnace that would be in like an orphanage in England, powering the whole building circa 1858.
And somehow it's personified and it groans and sputters.
Yes, very much so. It really was. I mean, the thing was like, it was so enormous and so inefficient. It was like 30% of the basement, and then just all these, like, you know, tubes coming out of it and things. And anyway, so I had this little room in the basement, which meant the basement was now my domain, my responsibility. So I had to sweep the basement. I had to sweep all the stairs. I had to take all the garbage out. I had to sweep the walkways. I mean, I haven't even swept my walkway here at Burbank Springs in God knows how long. I used to have to sweep all of the, like, all of the sidewalk, like in front of our house. And that was just my chores. My sisters had their whole things, but I do really think that was kind of good for us. All of I wouldn't go so far as to say I don't know if I'm tidy or not. You know, I think of myself as being relatively tidy at this point, Andrew, but I had to make this little video the other day for a Livewire project. Basically, they're sending out, our distributor of that radio show is sending out an email to the people in charge of radio stations saying, hey, you should consider putting Livewire on your radio station. And so we made a little video, and part of it involved me walking down the hall here and going into this room where I do the show. And again, it's not like this room is a mess, but man, it is cluttered. And I did not realize until I saw it in the video. I was kind of slightly mortified.
Your actual studio, the one that you do like the Hey Dummies from?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's not, I mean, again, it's like I vacuum this thing probably, if not every day, every other day. It is organized. You know, I'm looking around, I'm assessing it right now. There's just so much stuff in here. And I didn't even realize it until I saw it on video, and I was like, oh, I look kind of a little hoarder-ish in that room. So anyway, all I was going to say is everybody in my family seems pretty tidy and pretty on top of it when it comes to, like, you know, taking care of their homes and taking care of their, you know, just things like that. And I have to feel like some of that came from the fact that we were all just doing lots of chores.
It's funny how we go blind to the objects around us. I joke around with Genevieve about it because she pointed it out about herself first. Like, she'll, you know, set, let's say, you know, she's working on some project and she has some doohickey, some box of crafting stuff, right? She'll leave the crafting stuff on the table, and day one she might think, I should clean that up, and day two she might think, ooh, definitely need to clean that up. Day three she no longer sees it. It's disappeared.
Yep.
She can look right past it. And we all do that to a different extent, right? And when you see your home through the eyes of somebody else, or you're imagining the eyes of somebody else, like when you're shooting your video and suddenly you see it, I'm assuming that when you're doing Hey Dummies, you have a very specific angle that you're in, and so you know that everything behind you is clear and the shot is clear, because those videos, or when I'm zooming with you, it never looks cluttered, but right. You know, you have a different angle on it and suddenly you see it. Here's where I don't know if I'm mentally unwell or not. A big part of my obsession with having things kind of tidy, and by the way, this house is not even that clean. Like, yesterday I bent over to pick something up and I just saw, like, just mounds of cat hair underneath, like, the sideboard thing we have, which I don't think is really a sideboard. I don't know what a sideboard is. We have a piece of furniture that we call a sideboard, but I think it's
just...
Does
it have one, like, weird laser glowing eye, and when you smash it, does it reform into the original form? Because that might be a cyborg.
That is exactly what it is. And there were dust bunnies underneath it, and they were scared. Oh, yeah. They were so scared because the cyborg is a scary thing. I don't know why we let it.
It said, vacuum under me if you want to live.
Yeah. So anyway, but I do like things to be tidy, certainly. But I know that there are plenty of blind spots in my own office and in this house. And if you told me that they're doubling down on quarantine, and for the rest of my life, as long as I live in this apartment, nobody will ever come over here. They're sealing all the doors. It's just my space now. I'm allowed to open a window twice a week. I would still, as I'm cleaning up the house, be thinking, well, I'd still be like kind of envisioning my living space through somebody else's eyes. I'd still be kind of thinking, well, if somebody comes over, if somebody drops by, I feel like I have this weird paranoia that somebody's going to drop by and they're going to see a pile of laundry on the couch. So we need to get that folded right now and put away. And it's weird that nobody drops by anymore, by the way. Yet I do think I'm somewhat driven by this idea of somebody just suddenly walking into our apartment and saying, this is a flop house.
Yeah, well, I've told this story on the show many times, but when I got divorced and I moved from L.A. to New York, I rented what for me was a very nice apartment. I furnished it with very nice furniture, like probably the first time I actually went out and really bought, like, and I didn't go to IKEA. I think I went to Crate and Barrel, and I was just like, and I had this whole setup, and it was somehow subconsciously, so if my ex walked down that street in Brooklyn and looked into my apartment, she would know I'm doing fine. The thing that made no sense was it was on the second floor. Mm-hmm. It faced into a courtyard. You couldn't even really see into it from the street. And I don't think she ever was in Brooklyn during that period of time. Mm-hmm. But it was some kind of weird, like, I need this to just look a certain way in case that ever happens, so that they will think, oh, yeah, Luke's doing just fine.
And clearly you were.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
That's the irony there.
Yeah. Hey, we should take a break, but when we come back, I do want to talk the soul of a cat with you, Andrew, because
yeah.
I think you and I have both been dealing with, and I don't want to, we have to be careful going into this because we have cat lovers in the audience, and we are both cat lovers, but the Bay Kitty is really getting on my last nerve here. So anyway, we'll take a break and come back and talk about that, plus mannequins in diners and do some Blurs Days. Coming up on TBTL. Where are my TikTokers at? This is a big song on TikTok, and I didn't even know for the longest time that this was Thundercat.
You had Thundercat on Livewire a couple of years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what we did.
That's what I always think of Thundercat.
Yeah, he really blew up. I don't think we would be able to get him on now, or it might be harder, because he's really had a moment in terms of you know, his solo work and also his collaborations. And he was very nice, but appeared to me to have... Well, let's just say his landlord might have discovered a hydroponic situation in his place.
I only caught a little bit of that Tim Heidecker Office Hours. I believe it's turned into a podcast, but it's also a live video stream with him and Vic Berger and a couple of other people. And I'm pretty sure that Thundercat is the musician, or at least was on this episode I was listening to. Yeah, or watching.
That's a good get.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of cats, I don't actually have that much to say on this matter other than for the last two mornings. I wrote this on Twitter yesterday at like the timestamp was like 5:05 a.m. And it was something to the effect of, I don't have the tweet right in front of me, but basically I said like, it's amazing. Actually, I'll just find it. A shocking amount of my brain's bandwidth is taken up by trying to anticipate what side of what door my cat will want to be on. 5 years in, I have literally never guessed right. That was posted at a little bit after 5 a.m. Because, Andrew, yesterday morning and this morning, the cat has just been, wherever she is she wants to be somewhere else. And if she's on one side of the door, she's meowing, and then you open the door, and then she doesn't want to come in, or she comes in. And but the reason that it struck me is because, like, 3 days ago, and I hope I'm not putting your business out there, but we were getting ready to do the show, and you said, I'm a little out of it because basically Theo, I assume it was Theo, was up in the middle of the night keeping you up, and then so you weren't getting any good sleep, and then you were trying to catch up, which meant you were sleeping a little closer to showtime. I've been having that go on this week. Like, are these cats worth it?
Well, Theo's really... I am trying to be gracious towards him because he is very old, and I'm guessing that even though he's like generally healthy from the outside, like I don't know what's going on the inside. I'm going to ask Dr. John from the Appliance Hospital to take a look at him. But you know,
dress him up like a dishwasher,
yeah,
and see if you can trick the dishwasher doctor into just giving Theo a medical checkup.
He's not draining. No, he's draining. He's just so loud. Like, there's no way I can explain, except for somebody who has a cat probably this age who has just gone into full-on caterwauling mode, I cannot overstate how loud, how long his warbles are. And sometimes they start as early as 4 o'clock in the morning, and if you're sometimes you can sleep through it, but if you're sleeping light that day and he starts in on that, I'll be up for the next 2 hours. Now, will he caterwaul for the full 2 hours straight? No, he'll do it for about 5-10 minutes, and then as soon as you think it's gone, he'll start doing it again and wake you up. I mean, it is so loud, and then it starts happening in the afternoon too when he's getting close to food time. But yeah, the waking up thing, like, it's getting really, really bad, and I'm just trying to remember, like, all right, listen, he's not going to be around forever. Enjoy these times when you can. Try to get him to snuggle, because that's the other side of the coin for me. I know you're not as big on having animals in your bed, but you know, all this week I also woke up kind of in the middle of the night to turn over or whatever, and Theo is totally he's little spooning me.
Aww.
He just snuggles up perfectly in this little place. I always sleep on my side, and like, I love waking up and having him dreaming there next to me. So I do love that, but then he just wakes up. I mean, he's an old man cat. He wakes up about 4 in the morning, I assume uses the litter box, thinks I want breakfast, and starts screaming.
The problem for me is that the cat has nowhere to be and no responsibilities. So when it comes to a battle of her sitting outside the bedroom door meowing and me lying in bed trying to ignore it, she always wins because she will just sit out there and meow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what will happen is she will meow like two times and I will just think, you're not going to win this one, cat. It's 4:30 in the morning, and I, by the way, 2 hours ago, I just let you outside, and then you wanted to come back in, and now this, I have to put a roof over our head, goddammit. And then she meows for the third time, and I think, I've been outmaneuvered again. And then I just have to get up and let her, it's asymmetric warfare is the real problem.
Out of curiosity, so explain the situation a little bit more. Why can't you, is this the bedroom door, and can you just leave the door open a crack so that she can kind of come and go?
Well, no, because what she wants to do is go outside the house. And we have a pet door, but we can't leave that actually open and operating because sometimes she'll catch things and bring them into the house. And so the pet door is permanently closed. And so if she's going to go outside, she just has to – we have to let her out. But she's smart enough to know that she'll just stand outside the bedroom door and meow and then – one of us, me usually, will get up and go and let her out. The other thing, though, that's complicating it is there's this whole system where we have a window that's open that leads into this kind of indoor-outdoor area that we call the sunroom, and then that has a Dutch door on it. So what I try to do is open that Dutch door sometimes so that she can actually come in and out, but she has to jump off a fence, and it'd be hard for her to do with a rabbit in her mouth. So I feel like that's kind of like a filtration system. But she, for some reason, even though she's pretty smart, she forgets that that's an option. Like, she just doesn't quite understand it sometimes. So she'll just be sitting there meowing, and then I'll let her outside, and then I'll lay back down, and then she'll be out on the front porch meowing, and I can hear her from the bedroom, and then I have to go let her back in.
I'm a little confused because I thought you had the perfect solution where
I thought we did too.
She can be an indoor-outdoor cat, but the indoor part is just like your foyer or whatever that area is in the back, which is an isolated room. She can get warm in there if need be, but it doesn't give her access to the whole house.
But what she does, that's something that works particularly if we're like not home, if we're traveling. That's a good setup for her. But what happens if we're home is – she does use that space, but then she just stands outside that door meowing.
Oh, I see.
And then I open that door. She comes in. She eats literally exactly 4 pieces of food.
Mm-hmm.
She like delicately chomps down on 4 pieces of food, and then she just wants to go back out into the world. So it's just so much of my life at home, and I'm probably noticing it more because I'm home. I'm not traveling. Is just standing somewhere, opening a door for this cat, and then going and between the cat and the dog, although the dog doesn't actually go out that much. The dog wants to be wherever we are. A huge amount of my time is spent just catering to this cat.
Okay, so let's get into the pros and cons column here, because I mentioned to you that Theo is on my absolute last nerve, but I'm also very quick to say, but the payoff is I've had this cat forever. I have a real bond with this cat. We've been through a lot. He's still he's more snuggly with every passing day. I mean, really, the only thing he wants is to sit on my lap at all times, which, I mean, you know, how can you be mad at somebody about that unless they're your employer? But, like, he snuggles with me at night. Like, I love that aspect of it. Do you not get any of those things from your cat?
No, the cat is not super cuddly. I mean, she does sometimes, but it's all on her terms. And, I mean, the thing that's the most fun about her is that she is basically a wild animal that just happens to live in the house. So seeing her, like, do her her karate training in the garden where she, like, identifies a particular tuft of Mexican feather grass, and then she will stalk it, and then she will jump up and, like, bat it around with her hands, and then she will decamp and hide behind a tree that we named Bonch for some reason. Like, watching her do her – she's like – when Christian Bale's Batman character has to go on the side of a mountain where I think it's like Liam Neeson trains him in the deadly arts.
Yeah.
She's just in her own version of that all the time. And it's kind of funny to watch. That's what she's bringing to the table as a pet. It's not so much the cuddle. When she does decide to cuddle, it's a rare treat and I love it. But then she will cuddle for exactly about, I don't know, 6 minutes, and then at some point we'll just attack you.
No, oh, really?
Nothing has changed. She's just decided, you know, she sees dead people or something. I don't know. But Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that you and I have both had our sleep patterns greatly disrupted this week by these animals that only they're only here because we've chosen to have them as part of our life.
Yeah, well, you know? Yeah, and with Theo, there's been more good than bad, and there's been a lot of bad with him. Don't forget, his brain got broken about, I don't know, not even less than midway through his life, where he became kind of a. Do you know about this? We must have talked about this, right? Like, he was a very normal, loving, cuddly cat for a long time. And then we had a party, I'm going to say maybe when he was around 4 years old. You know, big public radio party, so pretty wild. But it actually was. It was we jammed a whole bunch of people into our apartment, and then at one point,
this is where he got stepped on.
He didn't get stepped on, but there was a lot of, there was a big crashing noise. I don't know if that is what triggered it, but like I know at one point, literally our refrigerator, like a shelf, and it collapsed under the weight of all the beer, I think. So there was a loud noise. I don't know if that's what freaked him out, but the host of the show I worked on at the time went to grab her coat out of our bedroom where all the coats were, and she said, I can't get my coat, your cat is in there. And I was like, so what, it's little Theo, he's not gonna hurt you. She's like, oh yeah, he's in a bad way. And he was just like, he just was in this defensive crouch, and he's a big cat, and he was very scary to be around, and he did not click out of that mode for a full 24 hours. We even called the vet, but there was not a lot we could do because we couldn't approach him. And then after that, he would just go into these phases, and we weren't sure what would trigger him. He'd be normal, sweet, sweet cat. Then something would trigger him. I'm sure it was just absolutely terrifying in his brain, whatever it was happening, but it was also terrifying to us to be around him when he was like this, and we'd have to just give him his space. And then those episodes died down over time, but he did kind of remain a somewhat asshole cat to strangers, which is like nobody wants to have that cat, right? It became more and more difficult to find somebody to pet sit him. Now, as he's gotten older, you know, he's weaker. He doesn't seem to have as much of that instinct. And also, even if he did, it wouldn't be quite as scary. But yeah, he's given us a lot of problems over the years. But I love this stupid guy.
I wonder, can pets have mental illness?
I think so.
Like, do you need to have like, you know, do you have to have a sense of self to have I thought yesterday was full of rank speculation on my part. Now we're getting way out there. What do you think? Can pets, like, can you have, like, a schizophrenic, like, not even in the joking way, like, oh, a schizo, but in the actual, like, can pets be mentally ill?
I don't know about specific diagnoses like that. I'd be kind of surprised if it was that one-to-one with a human diagnosis to a cat diagnosis. But I definitely think there is something going on in my cat's brain. That's all I can say on that, is, like, his brain stopped functioning the way it should have been, or at least the most, it stopped functioning in a healthy way at times, that's for sure.
Well, it's one of those weird things, right, where I think about this even with Rudy, because the battle with Rudy is, well, it's the constant vacuuming, and then it's the fact that she is so food obsessed that she just sits there all day just begging for food and just looking at you and just trying to anticipate, are you going somewhere where maybe there will be food, or are you going to do a thing that will in any way create a chance of me having food? And I think it's why she's obsessed with people, anyone that comes over to the house. I think it's all this food motivation. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, just trying to watch TV and eat something, and the dog's just like, it's just constantly pushing her away from the food, constantly like trying to clear the air of like her fur and dander that's just like everywhere and trying to land on my like tofurkey sandwich or whatever. And I thought, man, this is annoying. And then I also thought, man, I'm going to be devastated when I don't have to go through this.
Yeah, yeah,
you know? I think that's the weird irony of this stuff.
Yep. Now, have you just tried telling her that it's tofurkey? Like, that'll she'll probably not be interested anymore.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Top Story, by way of the Washington Post, Maura Judkiss writing about all the ways that restaurants and symphonies and sporting teams are trying to deal with sort of creating the sense that there are people in a place when legally they can't have people there or can only have half of the capacity. They start off talking about this place called Open Hearth Restaurant outside of Greenville, South Carolina. The owner, Paula Star Malahis, basically felt like it was too weird to have the restaurant half full, so she bought a bunch of blow-up dolls on Amazon, and not like you know, sexual doll. Actually, I don't know. Maybe they are. They're dressed, though. And she inflated them, and she has placed them around the restaurant. And I don't know, Andrew, if you've looked at the photos from this article, but it is far into the uncanny valley. It is. This would be very unsettling for me to have. This would be so much worse than just having an empty table. But it's getting a lot of attention. And some people have said that they were too creeped out by it. They're not going to eat at the restaurant. But she says overall, business is actually up, or business is doing great. And she attributes some of that to the blow-up dolls.
I think she's right. I think she attributes it to the press that the blow-up dolls are receiving, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's why this is smart. And she's not the only one to do this. I've been seeing these stories. I think they even were starting maybe in other countries as the United States was just starting to slip into lockdown mode. You would hear about this, I think, in China. I don't think I'm making that up. But I do think a big part of it, at least here in the States, is people like this restaurant owner saying, if I do this, it'll be a kitschy thing. I'll get written up at least in the local paper, if not the Washington Post. And then, you know, people will think of it. And maybe people will want to come and see that, you know, once in a lifetime thing.
I like the restaurant being half full. I would like the restaurant to be empty. Yeah. It does not strike me as depressing in the slightest.
Right.
Like, if Carrie and I go somewhere and we're the only people, you were talking about going to Hudson with Genevieve. By the way, I Googled that place. I have never been there, but it looks awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely our type of place, yeah.
To the degree, some places seem to be doing this because they don't want people to sit at tables that they're not allowed to sit at, which is kind of like, how dumb are people? If you see this table is reserved or you can't sit here because of COVID, you'd think people would just avoid it. But in the places where they're doing it, I guess just so people won't sit there, that's one thing. But I love right now walking into anything and being the only person there. It fills me with such joy and calm. Like the first weekend, actually it was like literally the Saturday that things opened up here in Bellingham. In fact, it was the Saturday after we finished the TBTL-a-thon. So I was driving through Bellingham, and what's the VD day? That sounds like you need to see a doctor. It seems like you need to see an appliance doctor. What was that? That was like the Liberation Day, like when
Victory in
Europe. When World War II ended, what did they call that?
D-Day?
D-Day. Who's your D-Day, and what does he do?
I think I got that right, like, because there was VE Day, and then there was D-Day, right?
Yes, totally. D-Day. That's exactly what I was trying to think of, and I couldn't. So look at you. Look at the big brain on Brad. Mm-hmm. So it was like D-Day. Like, I'm driving through Bellingham. I've been sequestered in that safe, undisclosed location with you. And then I'm driving through Bellingham, and I'm hearing whispers on the wind that maybe restaurants are open again. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, it's just like I'm driving around like I want to find a nurse to like kiss in Times Square or something. Like,
would you take an appliance doctor? Happening.
In a pinch, sure. Mm-hmm. If you could get me a couple pictures of Dr. John, I'd like to see him first. But I drive by this place called Little Cheerful here in Bellingham, and it was packed. And I immediately went from like, oh, that's really cool that I could go actually eat a meal at a restaurant to that's a horror show in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you mentioned on the show that Teddy's, my little local watering hole, is open. And I've been there a couple of times now. I'm not honestly going all that often, but when we go, the reason, I mean, I worry about the business and I worry about, you know, my friends who work there. I want to make sure that they're, for some of them, honestly, that it's worth them coming back to work. That's a big, you know, kind of decision right. A lot of people have to make too, both for their health and for can they make enough money in the service industry right now via tips and what have you, that it will actually be worth their while versus the unemployment that they can get. But anyway, we go in there and it's empty. You know, I mean, it's just me and Vives usually sitting at a table playing cards. And then maybe somebody two tables away, somebody, you know, like this guy Chris, who's always in there working on a crossword puzzle. So he and Vives will kind of like, and they're both always working on the New York Times crossword puzzle, so they can bond over that a little bit. But maybe one other person in the corner. And then there's a back patio that apparently some people are on. But I never go into the back patio because I'm like, if I'm going to be sitting outside drinking, I could do that at home. There's something about being inside that I like. It's a
That's
weird
funny.
Mental thing, I know. But it's like, it's just not packed. And if, like, I've never been there since they reopened on a weekend. I have no, and they're being very smart, by the way. I mean, I know that there's not a huge demand to hang out at Teddy's. It's not like some sort of super hopping club anyway. But I do know that they're very strict about limiting how many people can get in there. But my point is, I don't even go when those limits would even be close to being pushed. You know, for us, it's like, I don't know, 5:30 on a Wednesday, want to go play some cards.
A.M.
And check. Yes. Well, just to get the day started. Sure. We call them eye openers.
Yeah.
But
well,
anyway.
I mean, these shakes aren't going to fix themselves. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's the scene in there. If anybody's, you know, nervous about that or curious, like I would not have any desire to go in there if it was full of people.
Yeah, this is kind of a bit of a pivot, but I've been really interested reading about how there has been a surprisingly low amount of transmission of the virus as a result of the protests, mm-hmm. and you know, as they're even ongoing, and they're trying to figure out why that is the case, and they have a couple of theories. One of the theories is that in places like New York and Minneapolis, and really these big cities where the protests were happening, Seattle as well, the virus was trending down because of all the social distancing and closing everything. And so there wasn't actually that much virus around. Also, the fact that the protests were happening outside, and the fact that people were generally wearing masks, which is just amazing to me. You could actually, unless there's some kind of new data that emerges, it would appear that those things did not vector the way I was afraid they would. And what it makes me realize is, and I mean, I just say this every day on the show. It's so boring, but it's like the stuff works. If everyone wears a mask and if we wash our hands a lot and if we don't stand too close to people, and like I'm sure Teddy's is perfectly safe. And I'm sure that, you know, The Fork, this restaurant in Bellingham that we love, that we have been to now a few times, they were very good about the rules. Everyone's wearing masks and everyone's distanced. And we actually sit outside when we go there. Like I feel like it's, we can do this. Like when you hear about places like Arizona and Florida where they're surging and they go, well, they reopen the bars. My theory is like those bars aren't operating the way Teddy's is.
No,
operating.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just like people often, you know, young people, and God bless, I can understand it. If I were 22, I would probably think about this differently than I do at 44. But like things, I just keep saying this over and over again, but we can have nice things. We can have some semblance of normal life if we understand that we have to just be smart about the masks, the social distancing, all of that. But you just flood a swimming pool at Lake of the Ozarks with just humans pressed up against other scantily clad humans drinking beer and not wearing masks, and you're going to get some hop-ons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Don't play the pop a balloon between your two hot bodies game that I used to watch on MTV Spring Break. Do you remember? We've talked about the MTV Spring
Break. Yes,
breaks.
But I never saw that.
I think
special.
I probably saw it once, and it just like really stood in my pubescent mind, right? But it was like,
yeah, I bet.
You know, it was to me, like, for those who aren't old enough to remember, like MTV Spring Breaks, I don't know what's going on that network these days, but they were a big deal. They were kind of like, it was, I guess, 1 week of special programming where Daisy Fuentes and the gang would mm-hmm. just be out on the beach somewhere, I assume in Florida or maybe Cancun.
It
I don't
was
know,
oftentimes
maybe
I think it South Padre Island.
Okay,
like, I think it's just like which is in Texas. Maybe
I love that you know that. So anyway, and they would have dumb games and live shows, and like you would just be watching it at home. Like, and this is not even a scene that I ever would have wanted to be a part of. But just like I don't know, it was MTV. It was the 90s. You mm-hmm. watched this shit, and I remember there was one game where it's just like, you know, some hot guy was paired up with some hot woman and they put a balloon between them and they had to hug until it popped, and it seemed very scandalous to me.
Yeah. Oh man, I was with you on that. Like MTV Spring Break Week was a big deal. We'd yeah. be like watching it after school. I'd have to be at someone's house who had cable TV, but it was just like, yeah, just all of those spring break shenanigans. That was a whole world that was so very appealing to me, but so far from my life in Seattle, Washington, in a conservative Christian family. Like to be on a beach, to be near. The closest I got to that was from like 7th grade until maybe 10th or 11th grade. At the end of the school year, we got to make a school trip to Wild Waves, you know, to the water park. Mm-hmm. And it would be like late enough in the year. It'd be like June. So it was kind of warm enough. And it was like all year we would just look for. I would look forward to Wildlands because it would be like I would see girls from my school, but they would be in bathing suits and we would be in the wave pool. And by the way, there was like 12 girls. I went to a tiny school. I knew all of them, but there was just something about us being in a beach-like setting. That was the closest I was ever going to get to MTV Spring Break, and I was loving it.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this what Shenanigans is based on? When you used to go to, I'm sorry, not Shenanigans, Shalanigans, when you used to go to Lake Chelan with Camaro Kevin, the boys, did you guys play the Pop the Balloon game, or what was that like?
Not really. Oddly enough, we did run into Daisy Fuentes mm-hmm. on a fairly regular basis. Also, Dan Cortez was there. Eric from The Grind. Uh-huh, right. You know, the whole gang, the whole MTV gang.
Yeah, just chilling out.
Hey, speaking of Shenanigans and of bad ideas in Texas, Vanilla Ice, I'm just going to read from CNN. Vanilla Ice might want to stop, collaborate, and listen regarding his planned holiday weekend concert.
Oh, that's a good joke.
He is supposedly... planning on performing at this, they're calling it a restaurant in Austin. I think there's some debate as to if it's really more of a bar or a restaurant, but it's called Emerald Point Bar and Grill. They apparently serve enough food that because bars are closed in Texas again, I believe. Mm-hmm, yep. This place is allowed to stay open because of the grill component. And one report says that the capacity for the show, this concert, is going to be 2,500 people. Although I was actually reading an article in the Texas Tribune where the guy who owns the place actually says the capacity is more like 450, or that's what they're going to do, which would be a little bit less bad. It would also make it less embarrassing for Vanilla Ice that he had only sold 80 tickets by the time it went to press. By the way, this is a rapidly evolving story. Now that I'm checking in on the ABC 13 website down there in Texas, a local TV station, Rudy Kosky is tweeting, Vanilla Ice just called the owner of Emerald Point Bar and Grill and told him he is pulling out of Friday's show.
Oh, it's an evolving story. Stay tuned for updates.
Yes, and we will be following it from the Vanilla Ice desk. I mean, I was kind of like, Vanilla Ice, I don't know enough about him, like, post his kind of rap career or music career. I don't want to just say, like, he could be problematic. Who knows? I was impressed that he has managed to sort of cultivate this public life, and he, like, flips houses. The guy is industrious, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's on his grind. There are a lot of people who have kind of one or two hits, and then they kind of fade away. But Vanilla Ice, considering how kind of mockable Ice Ice Baby is and his whole kind of aesthetic was, the guy has stuck around the culture pretty successfully. So I was kind of surprised that he was Instagramming about how he was excited to play this show, because I would figure he's pretty savvy about optics.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if the capacity really was 450, is that enough money to get Vanilla Ice to leave Florida and come to Texas and play a show? How much could he? And he had sold 80 tickets. I mean, what was Vanilla Ice getting paid to be at this place where the capacity is only 400 people?
Well, that's the thing. I'm with you. I like to root for people who society has decided is just 100% mockable. You know, like mm-hmm. when Vanilla Ice seemed to be kind of reemerging into our culture by means of, if I recall, like being on an Amish building show. Didn't he have a show where he was building things, but in the Amish style, like an old school style of no power tools and whatnot? Does that ring a bell to you?
Very possible. A little bit.
And I remember thinking, like, oh, that's kind of nice. Like you said, like, he's industrious. He comes off as kind of likable and actually surprisingly down to earth. And so I wanted to kind of basically like him. The question of, is he pulling in a lot of money with this show? Well, clearly not anymore. But according to his Instagram, this was almost more mockable, unfortunately. It wasn't about the money. He had all these quotes. I don't have the article in front of me right now. I apologize.
About music and music bringing, you know, being an important part of life. And it was like he was trying to kind of make the overall case that we should be getting back together for these live shows because of the importance of music.
And also, like, I just miss the 90s. He says, I just miss the 90s when music brought us all together. I'm like, well, that's not, I mean, that wasn't really your role in the culture. Like, you had a fun hit that then became, again, kind of a parody of itself for a whole bunch of reasons. And, you know, Vanilla Ice will always be a name that will be remembered in, like, if you're talking about the pop culture of the very late 80s and very early 90s. Like, he's earned, yeah. I guess, his place there with that one song. But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that your argument that, like, you're doing this because music matters and you're the person who did Ice Ice Baby in 1989, I'm guessing on that timeline, I don't know if I'm right, it really jibes, you know?
I'm wondering, do we feel a little bit bad at all for the person who owns this restaurant? His name is Barrett Branham. And like I said, when he was contacted by the media because there was this Vanilla Ice concert was going to happen and they were going to have 2,500 people there, he said, no, we're going to set the limit at 450 people. And he said, we're not trying to buck the system. We're going within the guidelines that we've been given. He said, the safety precautions, they've been taking safety precautions for months. They were going to be implementing them. They're going to take everyone's temperature. They were going to make people wear masks and practice social distancing. He said, we reduced the capacity to 450 people because that's what we thought we could space with the tables. They've been following the rules. He goes, it's really not as gross as people are making it out to be. Mm. And I'm looking at photos of the place. It's a big kind of outdoor thing. Mm. Again, I would not go see Vanilla Ice there during a pandemic, but I feel a little bad for the guy. Then I get down to this part of it where he says, Vanilla Ice has already been paid. If I cancel the show, I'm just flushing money down the toilet. If only a couple hundred people come out, at least those people got to see a cool show. So it sounds like this guy, I don't know if he's getting a refund from Mr. Van Winkle or not. But do you know that's his real name? I think Vanilla Ice's real name is like Rob Van Winkle.
Yeah, that sounds right. I wouldn't have been able to provide that, but yeah, that rings a bell.
So I don't know if he's getting a refund from Vanilla Ice, but I don't know. I mean, listen, my sister and my brother-in-law own a restaurant. I have a lot of, my other sister owns a clothing store in Portland. I have a lot of sympathy for people that are in like retail and the restaurant business who are hurting right now. So on the one hand, it's kind of like, I don't know, you kind of don't blame this business owner if they're following the rules mm-hmm. for trying to figure out a way to keep their business going. But then also it just seems like such a bad idea to even get 450 people together.
Yeah, the fact that he says it's not gross is an interesting part of that quote.
Yeah,
it makes me trust
him. That jumped out at me.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Like he understands, it seems, that it's interesting you zeroed in on that too. Like you can tell that he probably feels a little, his feelings are kind of hurt. Mm-hmm. And if people think that he's just this guy who he just doesn't care and he just wants to pack as many human bodies into this place as possible, but he's like, it's not gross. Mm-hmm. That somehow humanized him for me.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
All right, let's do this. Got a birthday poem here. It's actually quite a long poem nice. That Katie and Dave wrote for Katie's mom, Betty Jo, in Auburn, Washington. But it was significantly longer than we can get into.
So, it was epic.
It was pretty
epic. In the most classic sense.
So we're going to read just the first couple of stanzas here. Betty Jo collects the rocks she spots along her woodland walks. She stops to strike a yoga pose and dance Tai Chi before she goes. The dreams she has are so bizarre. One that her son was a candy bar. Dream Court, can you help us, Stat? Can someone please interpret that? It goes on. It's a very loving poem, and I hope that Katie and Dave will share the rest of it with Betty Jo on her Blur's Day.
Maybe post it over on the Facebook page, too.
Yeah, that's a good... The full... Yeah, you guys can post it on the Slack, whatever you call it. We got a message here from Corinne, our buddy Corinne down south, who says, Happy Blur's Day to my brilliant and talented 11, Kevin, who dropped everything, rescued my stranded ass, and rushed me to the airport so I wouldn't miss the Waffle House show. Although you only listen occasionally, you, sir, are a TBTL hero. Jenny in Everett, Washington says, Happiest of Blur's Days to Patty, my fellow 10 and BFF. We became 10s at the start of the radio show, and we have not missed an episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long... That's a lot. Long time.
It's about how many episodes? 3,196?
If they made 97 as of today.
Wow. Well, I don't know if they've listened to this one. To many more fun times ahead and lots of laughs listening to Da Boys. D-A-B-O-Y-Z. Luke, how do you feel about being nicknamed Da Boys in some circles?
Well, me and Da Boys, we make noise. I hate MCs who think that we're toys. Would be my response to that. What is that? Is that Rob Bass?
I don't know.
I think that's a line from Rob Bass.
Young Money and Da Boys. Love ya from Jenny in Everett, Washington. Baseball player mommy
Young Money.
A Modesto nut. Laura in Jersey City says, My partner Dan has been a huge fan and dazzling donor for many years. Together we traced down the pastrami guy in Italy. Remember that, Luke?
Oh, yeah. The guy that was like in the New York Times. And then those listeners went to Italy and like hung out with him.
Yeah, tracked him down, hung out with him. The guy who's making like pastrami in the old school way, I believe. I'd appreciate it if
you could
wish
3D
him.
Print myself a pastrami sandwich.
Oh, my
right
God.
Now.
Yeah. A vegetarian one. So Laura says to Dan, I'd appreciate it if you guys could wish him a happy birthday on the show from Laura and 11 and Moki the cat.
Okay. Moki, don't torture your parents the way that the Bay Kitty and Theo torture me and Andrew, please.
Genevieve always says about bananas, she cannot stand a closed door. And it's true. We have to leave all the doors cracked open a little bit because bananas likes to just barge in, check on you, and then walk back out.
Well, the problem with that is, and I didn't even get a chance to mention this when we were on the topic, but Rudy wants, Rudy would happily take her breakfast at 4 a.m. And the thing that stops her from doing that is that the bedroom door is closed. If the bedroom door were open, Rudy would come and push her way in at about 4:30 and just be standing on my side of the bed, wagging her tail, just waiting for me to take her. So that's why we can't do that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how Moki handles situations like that. I don't know. Mary in Madison, Wisconsin says, I'd like to wish my husband and TBTL mentor,
I like it,
Petey, a very happy Blur's Day. Happy Blur's Day, Petey. With the COVID-19 situation canceling all forms of gatherings, he is having to miss one of his favorite get-togethers this year. I know he's bummed about it, so I'm hoping that a shout-out from his two favorite co-bros will brighten his day.
Happy Blur's Day, Petey. I wonder what the get-together was, and was it Vanilla Ice playing at the Emerald Point Bar and Grill in Austin, Texas?
That's my guess. Play the balloon popping game. It's hot. Allie says a happy Blur's Day to Jamie in Mississippi. Jamie! Our friend Jamie in Mississippi.
We love her.
Allie says she's a treasure to the entire TBTL community. A dream 10. Happy Blur's Day, Jamie.
One time winner, and I put winner in quotes because what she won was us coming to her house and eating
her
all her fried chicken.
Yep. And Allie, of course, came in second place, I believe, in that contest.
Yeah, and that was beautiful to see them able to associate. Mm-hmm. The contest was to get as many people as possible to listen to a special episode of TBTL. And to see Jamie and Allie put their differences aside and the rivalry and to just enjoy each other's company, that was huge. That gave me hope for this country.
Swords into plowshares, my friends. We saw it happen.
Majorly.
Stephanie says, I want to wish Kristen, a fellow Kansas City 10, and my Greyhound meetup partner in crime, a happy Blursday. Hope you have a wonderful day with lots of puppy cuddles. That was such a great night. Stephanie and
that
Kristen
was
and the gang picking us up at the train
station. We got
station,
off the bus.
Or bus station, yeah.
Yeah. That was a long bus ride.
It really was. Our buddy Sarah would like to send a Blursday to her fellow Arcaten roommate and friend, Lauren. Of course, we saw Sarah and Lauren on the Zoom calls a few weeks back. Sorry we couldn't be together on this special day. Crack a cold one open with Henry, our cat, and we will celebrate tenfold when I'm back in Seattle. Tenfold, Luke.
I see what you did there. Got it, yeah.
Happy Blursday, Lauren. Ran into Lauren on the bus one time with her uncle. Did you know that? True story.
I think you mentioned that to me. I did know that dazzling detail about your life.
I'm still in touch with her uncle. Amy says, happy Blursday to my TBTL mommy, Jess. We shared an office in the before times, and I miss yelling out TBTL drops in the middle of conversations. Jess is working full-time while homeschooling a first grader, and she's got some other really stressful things going on. She's an amazing mom, friend, and coworker, and I hope she has a lovely, restful weekend. That's it. That's what we got for Blursday
today. That was
it. That was it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Really good. That's a manageable amount.
Happy Blursday, everybody.
I want to thank all the parents of America and other places for having a limited amount of coitus 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and therefore keeping today's Blursday list in the manageable bracket.
Well, 9 months ago, but on a yearly basis. Like 1 year and 9 months ago, and 2 years and 9 months ago. 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, time, 9 months, 9 months before this, mm-hmm. every year since every the founding year. Of this nation, people have wisely avoided having too much intercourse.
Well,
so
put.
That the thank you, very much. Hey, speaking of the founding of this beautiful country, tomorrow is going to be the 4th of July. It's when we're all celebrating it, I guess. And we are going to record a special show for tomorrow. It'll be a special 4th of July special, which I believe will probably just be me giving Andrew a dingus 4th of July quiz from the internet.
I love it.
So
that's going to embarrass me. Wait, I don't love it. It just occurred to me.
Well, do you want
to
give?
It's going to be about our country's history, and I don't know anything about history.
Do you want to administer the? I haven't even looked this up yet. This is just an idea I have. Do you want to be the quiz administrator, or do you want me to be the administrator?
Well, let's talk off air. Let's see who gets to it first. Yeah, because we both have some projects to do today, but then we'll be getting to that. I'm looking forward to it, though. Yeah, I can maybe look up a quiz. Let's go out.
Tune in for that tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, please. And take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't
with brutality. Power out.